Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body was decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. He was the self-situated tree, the Lord of all others in the universe. And as a sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's body was also covered by the hoods of Ananta. Purport. The word avyakta mulam is significant here. Generally, no one can see the roots of a tree. But as far as the Lord is concerned, he is the root of himself because there is no other separate cause of his standing but he himself. In the Vedas, it is said that the Lord is svashrayashraya. He is his own support, and there is no other support for him. Therefore, avyakta means the Supreme Lord himself and no one else. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tanvitam Sasjivam Sahadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I want to offer my humble obeisances to all the assembled devotees. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So thank you all today for attending this class. I hope to do a good service for all of you to the best of my ability, and I hope that you will walk away with something more than when you came here in the first place. As we know, transcendental knowledge is passed down from Lord Brahma through the Guru Parampara, and we are but the instruments of delivering that knowledge and repeating as well as we could. So please, in advance, forgive me if I say something that maybe doesn't make sense or make mistakes. So what I would like to start with is these verses are very, there is many themes in each of these verses, but because Srila Prabhupada said important, he starts the purport with it's important avyakta. He mentioned about Lord Krishna being invisible, being not manifested. So I sort of decided to make more in that level. And so first of all, when we think of God, first of all, is everyone awake? You're good, yeah? It was a good kirtan. You should have got your blood going, right? So good priming. So when we talk to people and even amongst devotees, sometimes there is one theme that comes very often. Those who go on Sankirtan or those who talk to people who don't know much about Krishna, there is one question. If God created us and the universe, who created God? And it's actually a very interesting question, but we can start by thinking, why almost everybody asks that question? Do you have that experience? Did anybody heard anyone asking that question ever? Right? Did you ask that question as well sometime? I did at some point. Like, if you know, but anyway, so the point of this is we and everyone on this in this material world, we have a concept of time, and we have a concept that everything has beginning, lasts for some time, and then the ends. So the idea that there is a spiritual entity, the spiritual personality, God, that doesn't come under those concepts is very kind of mind-blowing if you really think deeply about it. So, because from our perspective, you always think, yeah, well, everything is created, this is created, one day it's going to cease to be, and then so our experience dictates our thoughts, right? So what we do in life, how we think, is based on our experiences, and those experiences are real. Nevertheless, they're not necessarily the absolute truth. So in that respect, we can refer, as a devotee, sometimes when we have these questions, and some is maybe a bit challenging, we can, first of all, need to convince ourselves that Krishna doesn't need any sustenance from anyone, that he's, as the verse says, supporting himself. So we have, for example, we have Sri Shupanishad. We have a quote in Sri Shupanishad when he says, Om Purnam Purnamadaya, Krishna is full, right? Krishna is complete. Then we have another one. We have a Brahma Samhita, right? We have a verse that goes, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Lord Brahma, we all know the Brahma Samhita came from Lord Brahma, as the title says, and that was related to this chapter because that was when Lord Brahma was investigating, what am I doing here, and trying to figure out his own origin, right? We follow this chapter, so Lord Brahma is searching and finally facing the Lord and looking at the beautiful Lord and who sits on Anantashesh. And with the lotus stem coming out, and Lord Brahma was on the top, so he had, by the mercy of the Lord, he was allowed to see that and understand. So once that moment of realization had come, Lord Brahma, I mean, we have Brahma Samhita. So that's face-to-face experience. Hopefully one day we will have that experience. Until then, we can call upon Lord Brahma's verses and sort of study them, because in this verse, I just clicked it off. All right. Sorry, apologies. This verse says, Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. So that's one verse. In Sri Shupanishad, the verse in invocation, he says, the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So what's the idea we are getting from here? Anybody could just say in a couple of short sentences, what's the purpose of these verses? What is it telling us? Exactly. So whatever comes from Krishna, this whole material creation, and it's not just this planet or just this universe. I mean, if you look behind you, there is that beautiful picture of Mahavishnu, and all the universe is emanating from the pores of his skin. And he says it's like a mustard seed. You know, there's so many universes that, and they're so insignificant in comparison to Mahavishnu. Like, I mean, who would feel mustard seeds being on the top of your head or something? You wouldn't. It's like, how many are there? He doesn't know how many are there, because there is just They're just there. You just manifest them. And each seed is a universe, and within that universe we have countless stars and planets, and this little planet is here in the solar system, and on this little planet we are on this little continent here in Europe, right? And there's a little island called United Kingdom, and here we are near Watford in this holy place in the spiritual embassy, Bhaktivedanta Manor, and there we are, little spirit souls thinking, who created all of this, talking about the creator of all there is. And it's actually fascinating if you think about it, and it could be a bit scary as well if you don't have a right understanding, because the way we practice our Krishna consciousness is what gives us understanding. Because many times we say knowledge is power. Who heard that saying, knowledge is power? Well, it's not. Vijnana, realize knowledge is power. You can have all the knowledge in the world. I have that experience. Our son finished university and he graduated in mathematics. So now we can say, oh, he's got it. He's got his diploma, he's got his degree. But the point is, he can't do anything with it. He has no experience of applying any of it. It's actually a struggle to get the job, because nobody wants somebody who doesn't know what to do with it. So it's kind of like, where do you start? And it really gives that realization. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if that knowledge is not practically applied in our daily lives, then it just sits there. And we know also from the Shastras, I can't remember exactly where the quote comes from, but we hear it sometimes that if we have knowledge and we don't preach, it sort of becomes stale, we lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it, like a muscles. If you don't keep using your muscles and exercising and doing something, then suddenly, after one kirtan, you're asleep, rather than being rejuvenated, right? You feel like tired and stuff. So it's like that. This knowledge we have a precious gift given to us by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and then passed on to the spiritual masters and devotees in general. There are many, every devotee is precious. Every devotee has something to give. All of us, we all have something to give, and we should be giving whatever we have. We should give. It's not like we don't need to wait for to have some position or some recognition before we start giving. We can just give. However little we have, we can give. There is always somebody who needs it, right? Whether it's just a bit of compassion, whether it's a bit of our time, whether it's a bit of our knowledge, of our understanding, of some sharing our realizations, there is always something we can do. And by doing that, that devotional performance, that devotional service for others, it says living is forgiving, right? And that's such an important thing, because it's real. This is how you can test it. Be adventurous, test it. Make a point for next few days and do some meaningful service for someone. Like, do something that will help somebody or make them happy in their devotional life or in general. And you will see the feeling we get from making somebody else happy is actually greater than when somebody gives us something and we are happy for like a few seconds. Think about it. It's because we are designed. It's our inherent nature. It's our constitutional position to serve. We are Jivara Svarupa Hoya Krishnera Nitya Das. That's the absolute truth. So we need to start like unpacking that and thinking, where do I fit? I'm spirit soul. Okay. What do I do as a spirit soul? Do I put a white sheet on me and be a ghost? No. We know it's not that, but sometimes people might think that is what spirit is, but it's not. Spirit's soul, we are. We don't have the spirit, we are the spirit soul. So, because going back to understanding this and practicing the spiritual science, is that We often say understanding the knowledge we have comes from heart, isn't it? Divya gyan hride prakashito. we become enlightened. The knowledge is revealed within the heart by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna. Did you ever have that sometimes in a life, that feeling that you read something, suddenly there is that aha moment? Anybody reads? Yeah? Anybody had those moments when you reading something for maybe 10th time and finally something just clicks and you feel, oh, I get it now? You have that? Sometimes happens, isn't it? And that feeling you have is such a nice, profound feeling. You feel, wow, this is real, you know, I'm on the right path. So Krishna gives us little glimpses, little mercies that encourages us to carry on this path, to kind of move forward and forward and forward and keep going. And when we say transcendental, because what is transcendental knowledge? Because Krishna is transcendental. We are going back to origins of Krishna and why we can't just all get it, why we can't perceive Krishna. Well, transcendental, I was brave and I'm quoting Oxford Dictionary. It says transcendental means experience, event, object or idea that is extremely special and unusual and cannot be understood in ordinary ways. A transcendental vision of the nature of God, which synonym means outwardly. And I think this actually really applies to us. I mean, outwardly, right? Unusual, cannot be understood in ordinary ways. And if you think about devotee lifestyle, what do? We jump in the kirtan, we chant Hare Krishna, we eat prasadam, right? We talk philosophy, we get up early in the morning. How many people in the world do these things? Like start the day with a dance, with the music, with a song. Like, you know, 4:30 in the morning, devotees sing. It's like, it is an unusual way. So it fits, isn't it? Fits the description of transcendental. It's so special and unusual that can be only understood in extraordinary ways. So that makes devotees extraordinary. And sometimes one might think, oh, but I'm not like, say maybe, Keshava Maharaj, he's so extraordinary, isn't he? He's like amazing. He's like a Krishna preaching energy powerhouse. He's just there. He's always giving. He's always like on the go, helping, preaching. And there's so many devotees like him. And then we can think, oh, but I'm not like that. How can I be extraordinary? But yeah, well, there is a good news. We all can, because, again, going back, we are eternal servants of Krishna. It's our birthright. We are spirit souls. We are servants. We are, that's who we truly are. Behind all of this, man, woman, they, thems, whatever, anything, we are all spirit souls. Underneath. That's why the confusion in material world, everybody is so confused with identity. Oh, who am I? And then people invent identities because something deep down, they don't feel they fit the picture. Like, oh, I'm a woman, but I don't feel like a woman. I'm a man, I don't feel like a man. There's something missing. But it's actually, when you think realistically, it makes sense, because we are not designed to be this. We are designed to be in the spiritual world, in whatever spiritual form we have, eternally serving Radha and Krishna with love. So, in a way, as you know, it looks bad, but it's actually good, because people are waking up to some different sort of reality when they don't feel content just to be covered by material energy and just sort of accept it. That something is happening. People are feeling there is more. And this is now this is what they say in golden age of Hare Krishna movement, golden age of Harinam and Sankirtan. This is our chance to really help all those devotees, hidden devotees, help them to open up, to connect with Krishna. Because it's a cry for help, you know. We shouldn't judge people who have confusions like that. We shouldn't judge anybody. We should think they are souls who are in such a desperate need for Krishna that that we have a duty of care to help and just see them for who they are, eternal servants of Krishna. They don't know it yet, but hey, let me tell them. let's go for it, right? So, sorry, just have some water. And my sari will have some as well. So, going back again, how do we know the self-realization implies understanding our who we are, who is Krishna, and our relationship, right? Does anybody know words for those three things? Knowing ourselves, knowing Krishna, and relationship. Anybody? That's correct. So these three things are essence of our Krishna consciousness, and following and understanding those three things, those three elements, and understanding our place in it is what binds all together, and we as a soul become more visible to ourselves. It's like we all know the verse of Chetodarbana Marjanam, right? Shikshashtaka by Lord Chaitanya, when he says, we need to clean the mirror of the heart. Again, going back to the heart. Why we say heart? Because it says the soul, us, we reside in this area of the body, in the area where the heart is, and same as Paramatma. So this is like in chest, you know, within our, when we say heart, that's where we are truly in our hidden form and Paramatma. So by performing devotional service, the mirror of the heart become cleansed. So if the mirror is dirty, we can't see reflection, can we? We can look how beautiful we are, but it's not going to be visible. You need to clean that. Once we clean, even the process of cleaning takes time, okay? And in that process, we see little glimpses, isn't it? Sometimes we see a little nose, or maybe we see, oh, you know, that's me. I know, maybe, I don't know, I need to put a bit more work into it, right? Elbow grease and all that, do some work, clean that heart. And it's actually amazing how in the spiritual sense we are truly transcendental, and we don't know it, and we live our lives oblivious to that fact. So performing this process is important, and I'm just going to go through a few things here, which are the stages of devotion, because sometimes we can wonder, okay, how, so if we say we pinpointed the goal, right? What is the goal? What is the goal of life? To you, let's get a little bit personal here. Let's get a little bit uncomfortable. What is your personal goal?
Back to Godhead.
Okay, why?
Why? Because we are as eternal servants of Krishna rather than staying here. Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to serve?
That's how, as you said, Jiva Rasarupaya Nitya Krishna. Either we are serving Krishna or we are serving God.
It's true. It's true. Everyone is serving somebody or something. So going to that, what is the start of the process? What is the start? What brought us here? What was the initial? What is the initial stage of bhakti? I'll help you. Go on. Just speak.
Faith.
Faith is a tricky thing, isn't it? Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. It could be a little bit elusive. And sometimes people have faith, they come, then they lose faith, they go. Sometimes we have faith that we can do our whatever service or work 20 hours a day and sleep 4 and we'd be fine. But then after a few days, that faith goes away because we collapse. So faith makes us do things, isn't it? Faith sort of brings forth the belief. Belief is a bit kind of more crystallized form of faith. Belief is when it becomes more part of us. So we have a belief that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and that we are part of the process that will help us reach that goal. So So far we have Krishna as a goal, and now we are having sort of, we are going through a process, stages of the process, how we achieve that goal. Okay, so let's see how this goes on. Next one is Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, again, when we bring it to our daily lives, is basically whomever we are surrounded by, and hopefully their devotees. And why is Sadhu Sangha important? When we talk in a different terminology and just say people we hang out with, right? People we are surrounded with, people we interact with, people we are friends with, people we reveal our minds to. Those people we are interacting the most will reflect and mirror upon us. So if we surround ourselves with people who are in a certain mood, maybe business people, then we become a bit more like, yeah, let's do this, let's make some money and stuff, isn't it? In life happens. So that's why we have to be very, very careful what association we allow ourselves to be surrounded with. Sometimes, of course, in life, in this world, we have to associate with different people, but instead of taking association, we should be giving it. So we need to understand this, our faith and belief has to be very strong, that we don't get besotted by ideas or somebody else's paths or whatever because we are surrounded by them, but instead we need to maintain that firm faith and belief and fill our lives with devotees. If we can't be physically present with devotees, listen to the lectures, audiobooks, come to the temple, do something that brings that spark and maintains the faith. So, and next one is, oh yeah, there is, I wrote here, devotional activities are faith in action. If you think about it, when we have faith, it's kind of abstract, isn't it? We have faith. What does it mean? When we practice what we believe in, that wakes up that faith, that makes it into firm faith, that makes it, moves it to the next stage, which is anartha nivritti. So that's purification of the heart. What would you, in your life, everyday life, when you think about anartha nivritti, what is your idea? What does it really mean? What is purification of the heart? How do you experience that? How do we, let's bring it down in our, every, let's be practical. Mm-hmm. What does it really mean? What is purification of the heart? Mm-hmm. Like in daily life, are you able to pinpoint the meaning of this in your life? How do we, yeah.
Experience things that are not conducive for devotional service. Mm-hmm.
Spot on. So everyday life brings us to this point when we, anartha nivritti, I sort of thought about it, the words that came to me when I was asking myself the question, I put them down as challenges, anartha nivritti stage. To me, it's challenges. To me, it's like, Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigornita ki chai. So these challenges are real. We all have them. Is there anyone who doesn't have any challenges in their devotional life or life in general? Carefree, no challenges, happy, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma level, anyone yet? Na shochati na kankshati, no? Well, for me, it's a lot of shochati and kankshati. It's like happiness and distress. They're just like, woo, they flip over. Which brings us to the nishta level, and this is all connected. What is nishta? How would you define nishta in your life? What is?
Determination.
Sorry? Determination. Yes. Firm faith, which manifests definitely as determination. We can also say anything else, ladies.
Yes.
So, yeah. Wonderful. So, yeah, we are fixed. There is no more shaky, like you know, the heart rate when you see this chart, it goes like this. So that's our lives all the time, like up, down, just... So we need to... Material life needs to be a flat line. We need to flatline the material life. And that means steady spiritual life. So the challenges, don't be surprised with the challenges. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes devotees can be really knocked out by challenges. Sometimes it can be very hard. Sometimes old habits can creep up even after many years. Sometimes anarthas can take over and sort of cover us, and mistakes can happen. My most humble advice for everyone would be, if you ever come across a devotee who is struggling, please don't do the worst possible thing. Prabhu, you know, just don't be in Maya. I mean, that's really helpful, isn't it? It's like, poor devotee is suffering, like, yeah, thanks, I know I'm in Maya, but like, do something constructive. Think of it, what can I do to help and assist this devotee, support this devotee, offer some whatever. If I can, who can? Be proactive. The Krishna consciousness is alive. Process, it's a movement. It's something that's alive. It's not something that's static. Very often we fall victims of that complacency and just, yeah, yeah, I'm all right. You know, I'm chanting, I'm doing my stuff, you know, I'm good. But we are not designed to be Bhajanandis. We are Goshtanandis. We are in Lord Chaitanya's movement. This is Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So we need to participate. You know what I mean? You know, the Lord is there. It's like, we need, you know, give it a bit of oomph, give it a bit of energy. Stop, you know, we spend so much time like, oh, why is this one like this? This, my bed is too hard, and this devotee didn't move the cup from the floor, and oh my God, look at all these dirty socks everywhere. And we kind of get caught up into all of that, while really what we should do is like, hey Prabhu, you left dirty laundry everywhere. Are you all right? Are you okay? Is there something bothering you? Because you seem to be distracted, you seem to be maybe depressed, feeling depressed. So be a little bit clever about stuff. Don't just take things at the face value, like, oh yeah, this devotee is just being rude. Well, maybe the devotee just suffered some severe loss and just is not really conscious of your presence. Like, sorry, your eminence, your presence, you know, is like... It's like we interpret so many things in so many wrong ways. It's embarrassing, actually. How many times we jump to conclusion? Anyone jump to conclusion ever? That we judge something and then it turned to be something totally different. And we're like, oh no. What's the hardest part what follows? Saying? Sorry. Isn't it? It's like, come on, ego, move out of the way. I'm sorry. And then everybody smiles once it's out, isn't it? It's good. But that's real life, you know. It's good. I purposefully do this. I want you to laugh a bit, because we cannot be always dead serious in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is very serious, very deep. But at the same time, we cannot carry that burden and just be crushed by it. That's why we have devotees in our midst, and that's why we have each other, and that's why it's okay to feel down or low, but that's, again, coming to association and coming to the platform of Nishtha and then associate with devotees who are better than us. It's so good. It's so important to carry on with that. So next one we have... because I'm conscious of time, I should be finishing soon. Next one, we have ruchi. Ruchi is taste. I kind of wanted to define what is ruchi when it's home, when it's here. I sort of felt, this could be different for everyone, but I felt it's a taste that brings fire of desire to serve more. Because taste makes you like want something, and then you feel like, yeah, I'm going to do this, right? Did you ever feel like there is some service, and if you love cooking and suddenly you just feel inspired and you're like, you got taste, isn't it? When you have taste, it's totally different dimension. And sometimes we have to do service and we don't have any taste. And it's like it becomes a chore, becomes a bit of a burden. But nevertheless, you know, na shochati na kankshati, don't be disturbed. See through, be determined, push it through. He says the success is just on the other side of your mind, right? We have this block, and literally we just need to cross over it, and it's going to be all right. Fortunately or unfortunately, life is full of those blocks. So just as we jump over a few, we think, oh, I need a break. And it's like, no break in Krishna consciousness. He says, if you're not climbing, you're sliding. So it's constant, isn't it? Do you have that feeling? It's constantly like have to fight. And the moment you stop, you say, Krishna, please, just a little break, little peace and quiet. And you just feel like, wee, going down. And if you're okay, I'll fight. All right then, okay, no break for me, I'll fight. I'll carry on. Anyway, so ruchi is a great blessing. Taste gives us that fire. Taste is a fuel, isn't it? Would you agree with that? Taste, having taste in Krishna consciousness is precious fuel that fuels us to do better and do more for Krishna. And that's followed by asakti, or attachment to Krishna. What happens with attachment to Krishna? So that ruchi brings us more. So more service we do, that attachment to Krishna manifests. I wrote here that it brings clarity and purpose and some deeper sense of happiness and fulfillment. So anybody would like to share what do they think attachment to Krishna is? Sorry, but just a bit louder.
Because Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna is Jiva Dharma, so therefore, Shakti means that you're really, really attached to Hare Krishna and speaking about Krishna.
That's good. So Prabhu said chanting of the Hare Krishna, because it's Yuga Dharma, and being attached to that, and being attached 24/7. Some devotees do that, they chant almost 24/7, do kirtans and chanting japa. And well, I guess chanting with a taste, chanting, when you chant, you're like, you really want to chant Hare Krishna. So that would be attachment as well. And
I've heard that up until Ruchi, then you're mainly attracted to devotional service and the taste for devotional service. And then from the Sakti, then it becomes more of a personal attachment to Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu? Okay. So that's what you see as an attachment, isn't it?
Yes.
That's good. Continuity of service and... it's good. Yes, Prabhu? Just speak a bit louder. I'm getting old and deaf.
The way I see it is, how can we love Krishna if we can't love the devotees? Because we must treat also every living entity in that way. You know, Bhakti Tirtha Swami says, if you think of the person you love most, and also transfer that to all living entities, all people that you meet, treat them with respect, full respect, and see their needs, which is what you're talking about. Okay.
Absolutely, yep, seeing everyone. I mean, it's a quite high level, but I always feel it's something to be practiced, and if we're conscious and making conscious effort to actually understand everyone as a connected, someone who is connected to Krishna and dear to Krishna. Every living entity is dear to Krishna. We are no different. We are also just ordinary, conditioned living entity, same as everybody else. We were just very fortunate. We were touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we received some of that mercy. And the only difference is that somehow or other we got that mercy and somebody didn't. And if we didn't, we would be like them. And what chance would we stand if devotees would not, if devotees withhold their mercy? Isn't it? So you see how it goes. If so, 5 minutes ago we were doing all the horrible things and stuff, and now we are devotees, and you know, it's like, what do we do with all of that? You know, like, share it. replace expectations with appreciations. It's a very interesting point. Expectations with appreciation. Expectations are what bring us down every single time, because we have expectations from others, from the country, from the government, from the family. And those expectations, more often than not, are not met, are not fulfilled, isn't it? Expectations. And then what happens? We don't get what we expect, which we think we deserve for some reason, and then we feel sad, and then we feel shaken by it, or we feel, oh, how dare they not give me that gulab jamun? You know, I'm senior devotee here. You know, I'm. You know, don't you know? You know how? You know who I'm? You know who am I? You know? Don't you know my name? You know? Don't you know? I'm Brahman. You know? You know, supposed to worship cows and brahmanas. You know, it's like, what's going on here? You know, I claim the first spot in the queue.
Expectation is the mother of disappointment, isn't it?
Absolutely, well done. You should you should take notes of these things. Yeah. These are little gems, you know. It's absolutely. So instead of waiting for somebody to give us something, be a giver. Because if you're a giver, you will never be disappointed. You will never be depressed. You will never be sad. You will never feel down. You know why? Because as a spirit soul, we get in touch with our true identity. Spirits, as a spirit soul, we have, in some small ways, we have unlimited energy. It's because it's eternal energy. It's kind of forever. So when we tap into that, it keeps flowing. We're not going to have less. Like Krishna, in a little, like drop of ocean, is also Purnam in itself. Same as Krishna, who is the ocean. But we have the small qualities, and we can't do what Krishna can, but within that little drop, we have those qualities, that spiritual energy is real and meant to be shared and given. And that brings us to prema, which is pure love. And it brings total immersion and full absorption in devotional service when nothing else matters but loving service, every moment, uninterrupted, ahaituki apratihata, unconditional, uninterrupted. So that's our goal. And now we have the steps, we have our challenges. Embrace the challenges, don't be scared. It's part of this world, just stop complaining. That means process works, you should be happy. Challenges come, bring it on. What else are you going to do? I mean, there is two choices. Okay, I wanted to finish with this, actually. So, very precious gift we all have. Something so important that Krishna gave us. Krishna said, I'll give you a hint. Once Krishna says sarva dharma parityaja, you know, to Arjuna, like surrender, give everything up, just surrender to me, after that he says something very interesting. What does he say? Does he say, if you don't accept this, I'm going to smite you with a thunderbolt, and how dare you not worship me? Because, you know, I spend all this time telling Bhagavad Gita, and now you're going to turn me down? Now you're going to say, sorry, Krishna. What does Krishna do? Sorry, louder. Yeah, that's it. So how interesting that we know about it, but how funny when we behave with each other, we don't give each other that courtesy, do we? Especially if you're in a managerial position. Free will, what's that? you've got to do this, you got your service, come on, don't be lazy, don't be in Maya. I'm just helping you not to be in Maya, Prabhu. You know, never mind you're like crying, but don't worry, just carry on. So free will, most important gift. Everything what we've spoken today about, everything I've spoken, everything what we discussed, everything that is in this verse about Krishna and everything, nothing makes sense if there is no free will. Because love is a choice. Okay? Love is a choice. And that applies to your relationships as well. And if you have friends, you have family, you have a girlfriend, boyfriends, husbands, wives, anyone, that love is a choice. That's to be very, very deeply understood, that we don't demand, we don't expect, we give. And then we build on it. And that's how we live our lives. So anyway, there was more, but I'm going to stop here because we are over time. Any questions or comments? Any critique? Anyone think something was not right? Yes, Prabhu. What was not right? And then we can talk outside later.
Thank you for the very nice class, Mataji. So you mentioned that in Prema, service is unalloyed. So how does that relate to our Dharma?
So did you say unalloyed or uninterrupted? Unalloyed service.
I think I meant uninterrupted.
Okay.
So how important is it that we find what our nature is and do that? And like, have you got any advice for that?
So let me just see that I understood the question. In regards to uninterrupted service and importance of understanding our Dharma, our nature, and how to importance of finding our nature, do you mean in this material world like something that we like doing, or what's our abilities? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
In a way?
Yeah.
I would say it's probably essential, because the only way to be happy in Krishna consciousness is to be aligned with our whatever is our true nature in this moment. Our true nature, we know it's Krishna, but even in the spiritual world, devotees in spiritual world do different services for Krishna. Some devotees play different instruments, some devotees cook, some devotees, and they're expert at it. So it's not like everyone does everything. Oh, it's your Prabhu, just do this. No, you find something, and usually it's also part of you. And I would say, from my personal experience, and it took me decades to find that, and it's everything becomes much better when you do. So sometimes somebody was sharing their story that they studied something, and they started, then they stopped, they were not happy. Then they went to a next thing, and they completed that. And then they worked for like 7 months in that job, and they hated it. And they totally forgot everything. They moved to something totally different. And as a consequence, they did so many amazing things. So it's like finding your calling, finding something you're... you see, we spend too much time fixing what we are not good at. Like, oh, you're not good at it, make sure you are. But why? Why do you have to be good at something? Why not just be good at what you're good at and make it, master it, be, you know, the niche doesn't have to be massive. You can be expert in something. Like gopis, some gopis are expert in making garlands for Krishna. Some gopis are expert in counting the jewelry for Radharani. Every morning she has, I think, 32 ornaments. And there is a devotee who literally services to count them up, make sure they're all there, and Radharani wears all of them. And when she takes them off in the evening, they're counted again. So that devotee is expert in a simple task, but a very important task. So be expert in something that you feel is your nature, your dharma. That's why we have varnas and ashramas. There is a reason for all of that. Because we thrive when we're in the right spot, like Gajendra, right? Being in water doesn't really, you know, you can do it, but it's not the same. When you're on the ground, you're on your own ground, and you own it. You feel confident. You feel you can do so much more. So if your service gets better, if your Krishna consciousness grows, because you're more aligned with your calling, with your dharma, you know, just go for it. And everyone else, find it. Find whoever it is and do it. So important, very important point, Prabhu. And then it becomes more natural, right? Is that, I mean, was it helpful? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, sure.
I remember when I first read The Science of Self-Realization, Srila Prabhupada's view, or what I got from, was it's devotional service is open. You know what you can, if you're a carpenter, you do your carpentry for Krishna. If you're a bricklayer, you do your bricklaying for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So it's open for anyone and everyone from your own different levels. But over time, by forgetting that, we accept sort of like, well, no, it's not really that. You shouldn't really be doing, you know, that. You can't really offer your voice to, you should just, and eventually, over a few years, it's like, hang on, what am I looking at here again? I've totally lost track of what it was that I came to join in the first place, because it's not this, it's not that. Eventually it feels like you're looking through a keyhole, and you're like, where is Krishna through the keyhole? So the point I wanted to make is that the soul is full of knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge. And so we have to remember that we already know something within ourselves, what our nature is, and it's become revealed through chanting and association with devotees. So we have to always remember that our autonomy is our birthright. We don't become automatons because somebody gives you a service. You must now count stones. All right, I'll do that forever and hate it. You understand? So that's what I feel to add, is that we have to remember our autonomy and our independent role. As you mentioned, it's very interesting. As you said in your talk, your autonomy.
Free will.
My cartels clanged, ding, in my bag. And I'm like, that's the message. Mm. That is the message. We have to remember that we have to give from our own independent selves.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I mean, that's such a valuable point. And been there, done that, yeah? Same Prabhu. You thought, obviously, God, that's my life totally. You know, I was told certain things, and then you think, I have to do this and that. And then you feel very kind of stifled, and you think that it's not supposed to, you know, within yourself you're trying to expand, but you feel like somebody's holding you like an iron hug. And you're like, doesn't feel right, isn't it? You know, oh, you're supposed to be like this, but you're supposed to be like that. Oh, but you're a woman, you have to be quiet. And I'm like, I'll die, but I can't be quiet. You know, it's something else there. And it's not like being, oh, I'm special because I talk a lot. But no, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's something, it's a part of you. You can't, it's like a fire has heat and light. You cannot separate. It's part of you. I mean, once you find it, you'll know it. You just feel like this is it, and suddenly you just launch into orbit and, you know, crush it, you know, in Krishna consciousness, but like in a good way, you know, crush all the egos and falsities, and you bring forth the spirit souls. That's nice. Thank you so much for that. Anything else? Are we done, ladies? Anything? All right. Oh yes, Prabhu. All right, last one, and then because you're not on diet yet, you're going to miss your breakfast.
You spoke about giving love. We have a propensity to give love, but then the other side is we also have a propensity to want love. Could you maybe say something on that?
Sorry, the last bit?
Do we also want love for ourselves to receive love?
Yes.
So maybe you can, I don't know.
Again, it's a natural thing. We are social, like within this world, we are social beings, we need love. When I joined, which was like 30 odd years ago, the whole narrative was just everything to Krishna. You love Krishna, you're good. You don't love Krishna, you're bad. And if you, there was, it was very impersonal, basically. And you feel a bit fun at the beginning, but then you start feeling like invisible, like you don't exist anymore. Or in some cases, I mean, my sometimes experience was I was just being used. Like, what about my needs? And you know, then they say, oh, don't be selfish. You're not the body. You're not this. Why, you know, just you know, or you're a woman. You're just emotional. And I'm like, no, hang on. Let me stop you there. I'm a woman in this life. But I have emotions, and everyone else has them. It's not something exclusive to women or people in the women's body. We all have them. And guess what? As you go along in spiritual life, you learn Krishna has emotions. Devotees have emotions, and without those emotions, there is no question of devotion. Emotion is devotion, is essential, integral part of devotion. If you offer something to Krishna, you're just like, I'm cooking, I'm offering arati. There you go, bye. Is there any emotion there? It's a robot. We can put these new robots Tesla is making, we can put them and they can do arati. You know what, you know. If that's what it is, right? But it's not. So you're not never going to do it. So emotion is so important. We need love. Everyone needs love. So that fulfillment comes also from devotees. And contrary to the popular belief that we just should get on with life and just only Krishna will give us love, in our current situation, we are not on the Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma level. We need to accept that I'm talking for myself. I'm like here. I'm this little piece of blue tissue paper on the floor, and that's me. That's my level of, that's my emotional development and everything in Krishna consciousness. So it's good to accept wherever you are at, and then you work from that point, because it's unrealistic to think I'm there. You're not. So what happened? We spend our life lying to ourselves, lying to others, and one day we get up and go into the material world, into first embrace of first woman or man we meet, because they acknowledge our existence and they say, oh God, you look so nice today. Some words of kindness, and we are like, oh, finally somebody. So instead, I know for male body, that mind is a bit different, a bit more logical, but it doesn't mean you need to be like, I'm a man, macho man, you know. Don't be that. Be like kind, you know. Krishna is supreme male, you can say, but look at him. Look, long hair, you know, kind face, smiling, beautiful, dancing. He doesn't go, okay, you know, maybe with in a wrestling arena or something like that. But that's on occasions. In Goloka Vrindavan, he's always loving. And that love is with devotees. When devotees meet at the Kurukshetra after a long time, devotees from Vrindavan, they finally met together. And there is a beautiful description. Read that. All of you read that. When they met, I think it's in Krishna book, the devotees cried. They met each other and they hugged each other and they cried. So, oh, devotees are hugging each other. Hang on. What books am I reading? They never hug. We were told not to even shake our hands or hug. That's like not normal, you know. But it's normal. We just be normal. I don't know what else we can say. Be normal. Understand your needs. If you don't getting your needs fulfilled, they will come out in an ugly way. So we either accept them and tackle them in a Krishna conscious, sensible way, or they will sort of dim us, make us dark. I'm saying that because I've been through this myself, because I thought I can, you know, this is how I'm meant to be, and I believed it. I was so believing, you know, I'm detached. And it's so much suffering and pain. It's so much suffering and pain. Like, don't tell my husband. I was saying, that was when we got married, and I said, this is perfect illustration, okay? This is recorded, right? When we got married, he's a devotee, he's Nilamadava Pujari guy, if you don't know him. So he goes, I said to him, you never say that you love me. And his answer, typical ISKCON devotee answer, well, I married you, so I must love you then. Why should I say it? He's not like that anymore. But it was kind of, that describes the mentality, how we have beliefs that, you know, we're not supposed to be kind and loving. There's nothing wrong with being loving. If we're not loving to each other, in the right way. So it's perfectly fine that we want that love, and it's important, especially, I can see you're brahmachari. Being brahmachari doesn't mean the emotions are like taken out and they're like just like some entities in the saffron who don't need anything from anyone. On the contrary, the brahmacharis probably need more love than anybody else, in the sense that they're trying very hard to live life that is really dedicated to Krishna. And we should honor that. And it's nice to do some little service for them and help them in their life. And talk, you know, you can reveal, if you have, important for you, you have a friend, reveal your mind. You have to have some friend that you can actually reveal your mind in confidence. You know, Rupa Goswami speaks that in Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, we have these things that revealing mind and giving gifts are perfectly acceptable tools in devotional life. So, I don't know, does it help? Yeah? If you ever get married, don't be like my husband, all right? In the beginning. Yes, Rupa.
There were many brahmacharis, and there were three ladies from Scandinavia, and they got to lead the Harinam. And we let all three of them lead, and the mood of the Harinam was unbelievably sweet, like you can't believe it. And that evening I remember, I realized, we call it Lord Chaitanya's movement, but actually it's Radharani's moodment.
Oh.
Lord Chaitanya is Radharani's mood. So it's not just a mechanical bashing drums thing, you know. It's all about the mood.
It is. Anyway, thank you so much. Beautiful discussion. We should do it more often. I mean, you can do it amongst yourself. But anyway, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yeah.